Good evening. I am Douglas Bowles, and this is 42 Minutes, a production of Syncbook Radio and thesyncbook.com, a weekly conversation with the interesting artists and thinkers of our day, where we naturally discuss the answer to the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything. Today is September 3rd, 2013, and this is episode number 100. Wow, 100. Can you believe that? I guess in that case, I need to take a second and thank you all for 100 episodes of support. Thanks for listening. Thanks for becoming a donor. Thanks to Alan and everyone at Syncbook Radio. And thank you, Mr. William Morgan, for taking the time week after week to do this with me. Of course, he's not here yet. He's running late, and so we're starting without him. And so this evening, on the horizon is an orange orb that we're going to try and identify. And we'll do that with our guest, Mrs. Regan Lee. Writer and ufologist, Mrs. Lee is the proprietor of the Orange Orb blog located at orangeorb.blogspot.com, which features links to her many other blogs. She is also a member of the Women of Esoterica blog collective, as well as a contributor to UFO Magazine. Welcome, and thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you.
You bet. How are you doing this evening?
Fine.
Wonderful. And so I first found you at the Women of Esoterica blog collective, and that was, I'm always interested in people doing collective work, but it seems like you're in many collectives, actually. So tell me about UFO Magazine a little bit first.
Well, UFO Magazine is currently Bill and Nancy Burns, the publisher and editor of that magazine. And I'm just one of many contributors to the magazine. There are so many others that also contribute, writing monthly columns and such. And Bill and Nancy also have their own podcast, Future Theater. I believe they just gone digital. They used to be a print publication. You know, UFO Magazine has been around for decades, changed hands, and now I think in this format it's now online. You can find it online.
And most recently you have a piece in there about UFOs and Jesus.
Are you referring to,
or maybe the
UFO Digest, which is an online publication?
Okay, yeah, I might be confused.
That's okay, because there's a lot out there, and I get confused as well.
Well, so maybe we should just back up and say,
let's just back up.
Yeah. So yeah. How did you get into UFOs, and what is the orange orb?
Well, I've always have had an interest in the paranormal, including UFOs, ever since I can remember. I mean, ever since a kid. I've also had a lot of experiences going back to when I was a child. And the Orange Orb blog came about because I started that when people were really doing the internet thing and doing a lot of blogs and websites and things. And I had a sighting here in Oregon of an orange orb with my husband that involved missing time and screen memories and all kinds of strange things going around with that sighting. It wasn't just the sighting of the craft itself. And so that's why I called that blog The Orange Orb.
So then you actually saw like an orange physical structure at night? And what year was that?
Yes, it was night. Oh, this was back in the late 1980s.
And that you said it was in Oregon?
Yes, Eugene, Oregon.
Eugene, Oregon.
Mm-hmm. And here's Will.
Hello.
Thanks for joining.
I just I always kind of perk up when I hear Eugene, Oregon, because it was like the end of the beat trail or something along those lines.
And so then How old were you when you had this first UFO experience?
Well, that wasn't my first UFO experience. That was my first really weird UFO experience. I don't even know about that, kind of thinking that. But it was, it kind of haunted me. And I went back to college in my mid to late 40s. And so I was doing, and I studied folklore. And so I was doing a lot of projects and interviews with people who had had UFO experiences, as well as Bigfoot sightings and some other things as well. But my primary interest was in UFOs. And so because I was doing a lot of writing and a lot of research, I just started putting it out there on the internet through the blog form, which I found I really enjoyed. And then I started other blogs. And then before I knew it, I was just had, you know, like 20 blogs or something all to different aspects of the UFOs or paranormal.
Do you keep them all updated, or do they serve various functions?
You know, I try. I let lapse some of them, unfortunately, because, you know, how much time does a person have? But I do my best. Each one is addresses a kind of a specific, excuse me, aspect. Like I have frame 352, which is about Bigfoot, but focusing primarily on the stranger side of Bigfoot, you know, the more paranormal encounters involving UFOs or just very strange events. Oh, another one is about Mothman. Another one is about just strange animal things. It's called Animal Fortiana. So, and Women of Esoterica, I started to just involve other people who were also interested in this, who wanted to contribute. And so that's how that started. And Women of Esoterica is just about anything that, you know, strikes our fancy that is strange. It could be a UFO sighting. It could be about Wicca. It could be about, you know, fashion.
And is that a collective that kind of formed on the internet?
Yeah, I just started it and just started asking people, hey, you want to join? and people said, sure.
And so how many members are there of?
There are about, I think, 10 women, Karen Dolan and Leslie Gunter and all kinds of people.
And then they all have blogs as well, or?
Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, yeah.
Well, because, you know, I'm just curious about collaborative collectives. Do you, and then how is the work that you do at Women of Esoterica different than at the Orange Orb?
Well, say I have something that's kind of 4chan, anomalous, interesting, but it doesn't really fit. Maybe I don't want to put it on the Orange Orb because it, or sometimes I'll cross post, but, you know, it is a strictly a UFO thing, or it's, you know, so, or I've been doing a lot of work with, like oracles and divinations, so that doesn't always belong on the Orange Orb, although sometimes it will, so I might put it on Women of Esoterica, you know.
Well, you mentioned that your previous experience with folklore. I was wondering if you wanted to talk a little bit about how folklore relates to themes like Bigfoot and UFOs and things like that.
Well, you know, from an academic perspective, if you're looking for things in narratives, patterns, the similarities, and the way people tell their stories, and on the surface you're not so concerned on whether the story is true or not, you're more interested just in the story and the patterns within the story and how they might compare to other stories. And then you kind of expand from that and how do they compare to other stories of creatures but from other cultures. And, you know, it's kind of a more doing like anthropology or cultural anthropology, that kind of a thing. But in the popular understanding, popular culture of folklore, you know, we can all enjoy shows like about Bigfoot or UFOs or ancient aliens without necessarily believing in those things ourselves. We'll make jokes about them. We'll reference them. You know, pretty much nowadays when we make references to, say, aliens, we all know what that means. And there's references to those things that enter, you know, television shows or commercials and advertising,
right,
and all that kind of stuff. And so that's a popular, common folklore kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Doc's so concerned about, you know, you can make a joke about it or reference it without necessarily having had experiences yourself or believing in it yourself. You know.
So then right. Where do you kind of shake out as far as things that we think is, you know, mythic or mm-hmm. folkloric versus UFOs? Are they similar phenomena, or are they totally different, or?
That's
tricky.
It is, and well, I can't disassociate myself, and actually, I'm of the mind there is no such thing as pure objectivity, not in this case anyway. But because of my own experiences, I've had my own direct experiences, and I have my own theories and beliefs, and they constantly change, hopefully, you know. But still, I don't even argue with people anymore about, oh, do UFOs exist, or ghosts, or angels, or what? I know they do, because I've experienced them. So we're not going to debate that, you know. Now, we can talk about what does it mean, interpretations, how you view such things based on your values and your upbringing and your cultural beliefs and all that, that's great. But, you know, we're way beyond debating whether it's even worth debating, you know. When I listen to somebody tell their story about, say, Bigfoot, now I have never seen a Bigfoot. This is a good example. I've never seen Bigfoot. Who knows? Maybe someday I will. I'm of the mind Bigfoot exists. I don't have any problem with accepting that as very, very likely. Furthermore, I think Bigfoot is probably more of a paranormal entity of some kind,
mm-hmm.
Which really upsets people. You know, there's in Bigfoot world, you have all these camps, and boy, you better not...
right.
Bring that up, you know.
So, and that would like more like a leprechaun type of, you know, like that. I know. I'm from a curiosity.
Well,
so, like, if you have a scientific
come on, Douglas, you've read Mutants and Mystics. To some degree, they all become the same thing, at least symbolically. I mean, it's like the unattainable mythical being. It's like the stag in the woods. Bigfoot, to a certain degree, is.
Mm-hmm. So when I'm listening to stories, I'm truly just listening to their stories. And we all do this. When you hear someone tell you about their experience, whether it's a ghost or a UFO or whatever, you have your own little sensors that tell you this person is full of it, or, that's interesting, or I kind of get that because, you know, my grandmother told me about, you know, that kind of a thing. So we have these different levels we go through as far as belief or acceptance of somebody's story. So there is that, you know. I may not show it when I'm listening to someone, but of course I have that going through my mind when I'm listening to someone tell their story.
I find it kind of unusual, too, that certain individuals who are really big and have been very influential in the whole history of ufology, I mean, certain individuals like Richard Shaver and David Icke, I mean, they border on fiction in some weird way. How do you feel about that? I mean, where's the breakdown where, like, what we see in media and what we see represented like on a pop culture actually like dictates what we experience when we have a paranormal experience?
Well, I'm more interested. I think we really need to get back to the witness, listening to witnesses. What are they saying? And that includes not rejecting the parts that we might find too weird. You know, like say you're a Bigfoot researcher and you're interviewing a witness and they're going on about Bigfoot and their sighting, and then they start to tell you about, and you know, I saw this UFO and the Bigfoot went over to it and just disappeared right before my eyes. Well, now that the Bigfoot researcher, 9 times out of 10, is going to just close up and leave. And they might even report that story up to that point and then leave all that other weird stuff out. But I don't think you can be valid in research if you're going to exclude data that just freaks you out. You know, that's just not being honest. And the same thing goes with UFO sightings or what have you. Then you have some researchers who manage to, you know, make a name for themselves, make a living doing what they do, like David Icke, for example,
right.
And the whole reptilian thing. And, you know, it's all part of it. It's all part of it because this whole paranormal realm has certainly had its share of people like that, and it always will. So I just take it as a given. I will say this. One night I turned on the radio. It was Coast to Coast. I didn't know who the guest was. It was just in the middle of it, and I turned it on. I was listening to whoever the guest was, and I was thinking, wow, this guy's really right on. This is really whatever he's saying is he has it. Then it turned out it was David Icke. Oh, wow. Okay, well, you know, that one little part he's talking about, it doesn't mean, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater kind of thing. So you take a lot of it with a grain of salt, you know. There's people like him, and then you have the witnesses as well.
Right.
Legitimate experiences.
So one of the things that we bump into, and that I'm particularly curious in, is there are UFO people who have kind of interesting, curious experiences, and then others who have really dark, scary, scary experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of that borders on like this notion of trickster stuff where, you know, the trickster is kind of leading you into a place that's really, really dark and scary that you don't want to be, you know, caught. And,
right.
You know, what kind of experiences have you had? Have they been more lights and...
I think there's definitely, obviously, both those sides to it. And I personally get kind of annoyed. Start to rant when people say, oh, we should only focus on the good, and, you know, if we're going to get negative about UFOs, I don't want to talk about that. Well, you know what? It's a part of it. So if you want to stick your head in the sand, be my guest. But, you know, I think you're not being honest. People have the experiences they have, and you know, one witness is going to tell you something very dark and scary and negative, and another witness is going to have a completely different experience that's very positive. Both are their experiences. Who am I to judge those experiences? I accept them both. Because, like you said about the trickster, that's a huge part of it, obviously. And clearly, with UFOs, it's definitely more than one thing going on. And if we try to stuff it into a little box to make it just one thing where it's all good or it's all negative or it's all this, we're not going to get anywhere. I've had both. You know, I've had some... although I haven't had anything magical happen. You know, some people, and I know, I'm thinking of one person in particular, a woman I knew, who had some very frightening experiences with entities. She actually saw them her and her husband. They did the typical sort of abduction thing, and she's very frightened and she's physically hurt. But the aftermath of that was she became very positive and happy and turned her and became like a healer and got into, she became a vegetarian, and she was extremely open to psychic experiences and becoming very spiritual. So, you know, that happens a lot. That's happened to a lot of people. Other people remain sort of haunted by it, and kind of in a semi-depressive or negative way. You know, again, I don't know why that is. I'm not. I wouldn't dare to begin to say why that is. I don't know. I'm not. For my own self, I haven't had anything majorly negative. I've had a few interesting experiences where I felt the presence of these entities along, confirmed by other people. And it wasn't particularly pleasant, but, you know, we didn't run screaming from the room either. You know, that's about as far as it went.
So it's interesting. I think you're kind of a person that straddles. You balance things. You want it kind of both ways. But so, as you were talking, it about Bigfoot and UFOs, it seems like those are two different groups or animals. Like the UFO people and the Bigfoot people.
Mm-hmm.
And they each thinks the other group is absolutely nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Is that so? Like, it's perfectly credible. We're talking about Bigfoot, and you're talking about hair and feces and tracks and things. And then
right.
you say, and then you know, about this time the lights came over and
right.
flashed around, and
yeah.
they're like, "What?
No, yeah.
We're serious. We're talking about Bigfoot here, not." And then the same thing with the UFO. But to me,
yeah.
this is interesting because you have UFOs are. Since they're coming from the sky, it has this spiritual connotation, and the Bigfoot is this earthy kind of,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So then
I like Bigfoot as a symbol. I like how it's like something that, I mean, especially because it's like 2013, and Bigfoot's still going. So it's like something that will, it's like part of us. Do you know what I mean? It's like the missing mm-hmm. link. It brings up all of these connotations of this hidden answer to this question that we all can't even like figure out what we need to ask. You know what I mean?
Mm.
It's,
mm-hmm.
but
yeah,
it's,
I like that. Yeah.
The trickster element, like you said, with the UFOs and everything. I wonder what you think about Keel, John.
I love John Keel. Yeah, I've probably read every book he wrote 3 or 4 times. Yeah.
Could you
I
refresh?
Find it refreshing. Well, I find him very refreshing.
Remind
yeah.
our listeners what his content was all about.
Well, he's probably in popular culture, if he's known at all, you know, for the Mothman Prophecies, that he wrote the book, and then, of course, they made the movie, which... but he was a Fortean, a researcher. He wrote about UFOs and all kinds of anomalous events. And he addressed the so-called darker negative aspects of this. And he said, you know, you could, I mean, I'm paraphrasing. I mean, this is not a direct quote at all. But, I mean, his, you know, he came to the conclusion that, you know, you could call them demons, you whatever kind of system you want to put that into. But there's definitely a negative element out there. And he said something along the lines of any serious UFO researcher who really wants to try to understand this needs to educate themselves in demonology. And again, I'm really paraphrasing him. I might have that totally screwed up. But what he meant was, you know, really research the more esoteric kind of elements of of religions and beliefs, and some researchers are doing this. And you know, my belief is a lot of this has to do with what are called the jinn, for example, which would be another, you know, version or form of demon. And when I say demon, I don't mean in your typical kind of Christian, you know, like Satan going, you know, like a Dana Carvey routine, going to hell for all eternity. I don't mean that. But I mean, you know, those kind of, there are negative elements afoot.
Powerful negative entities.
Yeah, just like everything else. And you're just, goes back to what I was saying about people who kind of put their heads in the sand about, oh, I don't want to, I've had people say that to me, and you know, various little UFO groups or that I've been involved with. Well, we don't want to talk about anything negative. But if that was my experience, and if that's what happened to me or any witness, and that witness is looking for some kind of support system and to be listened to, and the only other place they can go to are fellow UFO people, yet those UFO people tell them, well, we don't want to hear it because we don't want to be negative. Well, where, what's that person going to do? Now what? You know, it's just, it simply just isn't being honest.
And
kind of got off the track there.
No,
right?
I think that's exactly on track, because this is where we started with the beginning of the conversation, and now I can tell you exactly where I found it. So apparently the UFO magazine June 2013 issue is published digitally.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a piece in it called True Confessions in the Name of, but you're talking about these darker elements, and
mm-hmm.
you say this really kind of thought-provoking thing that some witnesses had luck by just using Christian...
Right. I remember that. I wrote that so long ago. Yes.
And
by,
so they might not.
Jesus.
Right.
Yeah.
But invoking his the name is powerful mm-hmm. enough to ward off the darkness.
Right.
And so that
right.
is. Yeah.
Now, I want to make it clear. I am not a Christian at all.
Well, that's what was so fascinating.
Yeah, right. And yet, like I wrote in that article, out of desperation, just kind of falling back on, I did go to the Catholic school, even though I was Jewish. That's a long story.
Well, that's what straddle. You get it both ways, huh?
Raised by a Buddhist mother, so there you go. But yeah. So I think more than this is just my interest. Now, other, I don't know if you've heard of Heidi Hollis.
No.
She's a UFO researcher, and she's a Christian, and I really like what she has to say and the way she thinks. Now, I don't personally agree, see things the same way, you know, interpret things the same way as far as kind of a spiritual framework, but that doesn't mean that I don't respect her, and I think she's worth listening to. So that would be a good, you know, it'd be interesting to talk to her to get that other side of it. But I think it's intent and energy, and I think you can kind of create whether Jesus or not really existed and all that stuff. That's a whole other thing. But in a sense, he or it does exist because of the energy and intent and construct created around that concept, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean,
the belief, in other words, the beliefs and energy behind those beliefs have created such.
So, like, yeah, I'm thinking about
like
the difference.
Magic, like,
yes.
Like in magic, you know.
The difference between the signifier and what the signifier is really signifying, like the power behind the image of the thing.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
That's the magic that you're.
Yeah, right. You said it better than I did, yes. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, another topic I'm really interested in are Marian apparitions, you know, appearances of the Virgin Mary.
Our Lady of Space.
Right, Our Lady of Space, exactly. And that's, And that's one of my blogs. My other blogs, in fact, is called UFO Mary, where I look at primarily apparitions and consider them in a Fortean context,
right,
a UFO context, not a strict, religious context.
Huh. Oh, man. I don't know. The more that I do this show, the more I start to realize it's all the damn same thing.
Well, I'm beginning to think that, too, and others do, too. There's a really good article written by, I think it was Greg Taylor. He does the Daily Grail. Are you familiar with that?
You know, I am. That's popped up in my radar in the past.
That's a great site and great stuff on there, and they put out a print journal, actually comes out I think a few times a year, just a collection of essays and articles on stuff like this.
Uh-huh.
And he wrote this was a few years back, and I think it the title of it is Her Sweet Murmur, and I believe you can download that for free from the Daily Grail site. And he talks about, among other things, Marian apparitions and the what might be behind it, and coming to that conclusion that, maybe as very different, as opposite at times these events might be, they come from the same place and they're the same thing. So I highly recommend that article. I think you'd like it.
So I'm always kind of playing devil's advocate a little bit in this realm, but that's because my background is more literature, and so with literature, you end up where you have different levels, and if the writer's good, they're making all the levels work all at the same time, so you can read it, really concretely and literally, but then you also can read it, from a psychological standpoint and say,
right,
so here are these dark forces. The dark forces are real. However, they may exist only in the character's mind, and
right.
the nice thing in a story is that, there really aren't boogeymen outside trying to come in your house. So I'm wondering about, your own experiences, how immediate they've been, I'm so curious, but at the same time, I don't want to be too curious because it's almost like inviting that into your life on some level. Have you?
Oh, well, I think we're way past that point, so that's all right.
But so do you find that the more you look at, like, the more you look into this, that the more you have the weirdness or this, experiences?
I think that's a very good point, and that's something to be aware of and a caution for all of us. I personally haven't found that, but I think it's changed or evolved. In other words, I'm very much aware of synchronicity, and I do look for those things. I'm open to that, so they seem to occur more. Now, does the fact that I have that intent and want it to happen and look for it cause them to happen, or have they always happened and I'm just noticing them more because I've decided to notice them more? That kind of a thing.
Right.
I think that wasn't it in Mothman that there's a quote that they, meaning all the weird stuff out there, notice you noticing us. Once we begin to look at this stuff, they know we're looking at this stuff. And so they satisfy our quest by appearing, by performing, by saying, okay, well, watch this. So,
it's like some kind of feedback loop. Whitley Strieber said the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
right.
It's just the experiences are driving our belief, which makes right. which makes more experiences, which makes them like break through our reality even quicker.
Which is not to say those experiences aren't real and that the thing is out there, you know, but we have
to be careful with words around this territory, right?
No, we have to be aware of our part in it. It's not just like out there and then us. We're a lot more involved in all of this than I think some of us might consider. But then again, I've had these experiences since I was a kid. I mean, some of my earliest experiences, memories, are of seeing strange things and having encounters. So.
And they've always kind of been in the realm of more of the UFO.
Yeah, an entity kind of thing.
Yeah.
Now, you know, one could say, well, you're just a kid. Well, that's true. But, you know, other people I know who they don't remember stuff like that when they were little kids, you know. And then there's my husband, who has also had, since childhood, very similar experiences. And we always have found it interesting that we ended up together because we've had a lot of experiences before we ever met that seemed to kind of parallel each other in a way.
Okay, yes.
And we even found out we lived a couple blocks from each other in Hollywood before we ever met. But, you know, when I was 15 or so and he was like 20, we lived like a couple blocks from each other. Unbeknownst to us, of course, at the time. Later we found that out. So very interesting. You know, why, and that happens with a lot of UFO witnesses. They'll find that out. Shared family experiences or with people close to them. What
so
that means?
This brings up another question.
Well, yeah, I mean, so like that means to me that it's undeniable intelligence in the universe, but whether or not that this is easily cracked.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah. Say it. I mean, so like, there's a simple part of me that wants to believe that there's this all-knowing and powerful God with this plan, right? That, you know, it's like these two people are going to meet and, you know, this and this and this. But to me, mm-hmm. it seems more like there's this intelligence, just kind of, we have these gravitational forces drawing us.
Consciousness with a capital C.
Yeah, okay, mm-hmm. there you go.
Yeah.
I got to ask, just because of the growing, okay, so like in that movie Contact with Jodie Foster, and she gets in this big alien machine, and she like zooms off, and the first thing she sees is her dead dad.
Right.
So I'm wondering, what do you think about all of these growing like experiences that people report that have to do with aliens and their like dead relatives or things like that?
You mean? I'm sorry, I'm not sure. I know what you mean.
I don't know. I've just heard that there's a connection between aliens and the dead.
What is his name? He does, I want to say Moody. I don't think that's correct. He does a lot of work with, like, astral projection and
I can't help you.
OBEs. But anyway, he has said that in working with people, you know, in helping them achieve out-of-body experiences and astral travel and things like that, they have sometimes encountered entities, you know, non-human entities like aliens. And yeah. Other researchers who are strictly just doing hypnosis, for example, not on abductees but for other purposes, maybe the client is trying to, you know, recover some kind of memory, but not related to UFOs at all. They will encounter entities out there. So maybe on those realms, they both exist, and at times they intersect.
I've heard of people contacting UFOs with Ouija boards and things like that.
Well, so it seems like, there's the edge realms.
Yeah, and there does seem to be a kind of a mimicry aspect to some of this, where you might, there are hauntings, a lot of poltergeist activity, that kind of thing. And then at a certain point, you wonder, is it spirit? Are they ghosts? Or are they aliens messing around? Jim Mars, Jim Mars?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. He wrote an article about a Roswell ghost, meaning the ghost of an alien at Roswell.
Oh, wow.
Which I thought was fantastic.
You just blew my mind. Yeah, it's wow, this is a whole new genre. Alien ghosts.
Yeah, exactly. And it was just wow, this is great. But there isn't very much out there about it. I can only find a few references out there. The article, it's a very short thing he wrote. And, who knows? I mean.
Exactly the point. Yeah, what about synchronicity? What do you think about sync in UFOs?
I don't know what the connection is, but there seems to be a very strong one, including a kind of a psychic, for lack of a better word, a psychic component. I have had so many times where many a UFO witness has reported this. You're just sitting there, watching Jeopardy or whatever, and all of a sudden you go, there's a UFO outside, and you get up and you go outside, and sure enough, there it is. One night, we were at a friend's house and just sitting around talking and watching a slideshow, and I saw my friend looking out the window, and I knew before we left the house we were going to see a UFO. We get to the house, she's looking out the window, and I know that she's looking at a UFO. I could not see it. And in fact, I was getting a little, irritated with her. Okay, come on, when are you going to tell the rest of us,
Right.
And she finally, she turns and says, hey, guys, come here and look. We all run and look. And sure enough, there it was.
Thank you very much. Now, you've been listening to Reagan Lee on 42 Minutes, a production of SyncBook Radio and thesyncbook.com. More information about the work of Miss Lee can be found at orangeorb.blogspot.com. For more information about the Sync Book, our guest, to check out past shows, or to subscribe to the podcast via iTunes, please be sure and visit our website at 42minutes.com. Thanks, and here's to 100 more. Thank you so much.
Thank you.